Yesterday, I saw an upside-down cupcake on the ground. I was very sad when I looked at that cupcake. I'm sure the original owner was very sad when it saw that cupcake. Thank you for grieving with me. I tell you this because yesterday, I also realized how much I'm like that cupcake in many ways. I'm not how I was intended. I'm dirty in many ways. I forget the reason I'm here, the intention for my life, the function I was made for. But God has a thing for upside down cupcakes. And that's why I'm here. I am one cupcake to another, trying to tell you how we can meet our Creator. So I say now more than ever, Cedarville, let's pray together. Father, let us see. We are blind to your glory around us. When will we finally learn your greatness? So often we sing, but we don't feel. So often we hear, but our hearts are cold. But you hear. You answer our prayers. I'm humbled to be in your presence and in your plan. And you are a good, good Father. God, so often we fall away from prayer and the word as if we don't need you. But thank you for the way that you are so steadfast towards us in your pursuit of our heart and our love for your glory. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Arrive in this place, reign in our distracted hearts today. Let David Carter be quiet. And let your voice speak powerfully through these words in front of us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm especially excited for this service today. I realized I've been building up the excitement for my sermon on the Lord's Prayer, and today is that day. I've heard murmurings. It's exciting. I've heard murmurings around campus of this change in culture. I've seen more and more prayers on the sidewalks, and it's exciting to see. I love that. I love that we have been talking about what is prayer, why we pray, and that we've been seeing it manifested throughout campus. So now as we come before God's throne, we can discuss now, start the discussion of how do we pray. If you would turn with me to Luke 11, we will discuss a fairly familiar text in the Lord's Prayer, verses 1 through 13. If you're able, please stand with me in reverence for the reading of God's word. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You may be seated. This week has been a time of learning, a time of God pressing into me in many ways, a time of weakness, which, as we learned Wednesday, is a time of God's power. Praise be for that. But as I pray over and over, and as I read texts about prayer, as we discuss the first couple verses today, we see that the disciples are learning. As we approach this text today, we need to learn the lesson from our Father in patterned, persistent prayer. The Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, 1 to 13 discusses, we have a content of, Lord, teach us to pray. How do we pray? We have a content of our prayer. And then Jesus gives us two examples or illustrations to discuss the condition of our prayer. So, what is the content of our prayer? How do we pray? Lord, teach us to pray. I will pause for just a moment to look back to my early days as a 6-year-old prayer warrior. Me and my babysitter sat down, knees on the floor, elbows on the bed. Some of you are familiar with that position. I was a math nerd. I loved numbers a little bit too much. And I guess as I approached some prayer, I had been so indoctrinated with structure and with a formula that I had been thinking about some other structures and some other formulas and some other rigid outlines and got them confused. So as I knelt down to pray in front of my babysitter, ready to show off and come before my Savior, I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was counting. I was not praying. I say that because there is a caution in me to give practical information, to come as an upside down cupcake and tell other people how to pray. There is a warning inside of me that says we are coming before our Father with our hearts the way that they are. And as I give practical things from those mentors in my life and those times in my life that I have slowly learned more and more how to pray, there will be the Acts formula, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I don't want us to just pray, okay, now it's time for adoration. Let me adore you, God. That's not the worst thing in the world, to adore God in that way, but God is so jealous for our hearts and for his glory in specific kinds of ways. There is an offering in our heart that I don't want to give us a specific rigid outline. I want to give us perhaps a model rather than a mantra. So keep that in the back of our minds today as we get some practical tools sometimes, some learned advice from those in my life. Lord, teach us to pray. This is how we pray, the lesson from Jesus. Let's go back to verse 1 and 2. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Do we have a certain place? Do we have that pattern of prayer that is established in Luke? Do we have a specific disposition in our lives and in our hearts as we pray? One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. I'll fill in the gaps here that Luke is building off of. Luke is a book that has a theme of prayer. And so all throughout the book, in chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 6, 9, in two places, and chapter 10, there are examples of Jesus praying. And Jesus going up on a mountain to pray alone or in solitude or the specific place that Jesus decided to pray. So when the disciples come to him and say, "Lord, teach us to pray," there is this example that they say, what on earth is up with Jesus' prayer life? He goes and prays by himself for long stretches of time, for short stretches of time, and he comes away affected. There is this Holy Spirit that descends on him after his prayers. There are these miracles that happen after these prayers. And so the disciples who have followed him have learned his pattern of prayer that affects his life and his heart. So they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Just as John taught his disciples to pray. John told his people, "Lord, teach us. We want the secret that you have, this communion with God that you rely on so heavily. Lord, teach us to pray." And he says, "Father." In chapter 10, verses 21 and 22, it's on the next page for me. It says, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.'" Some say that this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is when Jesus is finally revealing to us that Father. We talked last time about why we pray in the role of our sonship or being a child of God, how we can call God our Heavenly Father. The role of Christ on the cross, dying for our sins and paying that penalty so we can cry out to him, "Abba, Father," so that we can come to him in boldness and in truth and in persistence, as we'll see in this text. But some say that Jesus is revealing the Father to us now, saying, "You disciples, you sons and daughters of Christ, you members of the body of Christ, the church, you who have been radically changed, call out to him, Father. Spend time with your Father. Call out to him in endearment." So he's revealing to us the relationship that we have. And even in some of these examples, these illustrations, not only is God giving us things because of his relationship with us and because of his good nature to us that's contrasted with humanity, we'll get there, but he is a good Father beyond any example that we could get on this earth. So, as we approach our Father, I pray that we would examine our hearts. There are many of you in this room that would not be able to call Jesus your Father. You don't get that privilege because there's a change in our hearts that needs to happen. From the very beginning of time, from the very beginning of our lives, our disposition towards God is rebellion. And many of us have that disposition towards our earthly father. And we say, I don't want you. I reject you. I don't need you. Your provision, your love, your lack of love in some cases. Examine your hearts if you are in this place, because as we pray, this is a gift to spend time with our Heavenly Father. And if you have never understood the love that your Father has for you, this is going to be an incredible time for you to be able to come and say, "Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Father. You have done incredible things in my life. You have changed this heart of stone And you have given me the Holy Spirit. You have given me you. And now I can become more like you through contact, through prayer, through your gift of salvation. And I can walk in this time of prayer, in this pattern. I can commune with you in many ways. Please examine your hearts in this time of prayer. We say, Our Father, hallowed be your name. I prayed earlier that we would just see. This week was a time of weakness for me and power for God, but I so often rely on my own strength, my own ability, my own intelligence in many ways. If I don't have a manuscript up here, if I don't have every word written out, it's like my sermon's not going to be good enough. If I don't pray every day before I talk about prayer, it's like I have no right to encourage you all in prayer. It's like I have to be perfect in order to be up here. But that's not how our prayer life is, and that's not the God that we serve. We serve a big, big God. And we serve a God that encourages us to pray boldly. The bold element of our prayer is that we come as sinners. We come as rebels. We come as people that don't deserve the gift of prayer that we have been given. So we pray, Our Father, Dad, Abba, hallowed be your name. You are a big and gracious Father. As I was talking to many people that have systems for prayer, have little patterns here and there that help them to focus and take their divided hearts and focus it on God's glory, they can stay in this hallowed be your name, God be holy element of the prayer. They pray the alphabet. God, you are awesome. You are beautiful. You are creator God. Have your dominion in this place. You are everlasting. I would encourage us as we pray so that this doesn't become just a mantra, let's sit on God's holiness. Especially this week as exams and papers are starting to ramp up. Hallowed be your name. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Let your future kingdom reign now. We mentioned that already not yet concept as well last week, how God reigns, how God has the victory, amen. God has completed what he needed to complete through Jesus Christ and his work. And now his kingdom, his will can be done in our lives now. And it gives us this future expectation of his glory and his kingdom and his reign. Let your kingdom come. Let us reign in our hearts. Let us expect your future reign for all times. And give us each day our daily bread as you reign. As you are sovereign, God, give us what we need. Some of you have had Old Testament, are in Old Testament. When I say the word bread, what comes to your mind? For some of us, the Passover comes to mind. For some of us, Exodus 13. For some of us, the time when God provided manna for those in the desert. There was no way that the Israelites were going to sustain themselves. There was no way that they were going to find food in the desert. And they were totally reliant upon God for his will and his sovereignty, his provision as our Father. So they said, God, we need you. And he said, here is some manna, here is provision. So as we pray, Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, reign in our lives. Also, give us tomorrow's bread today. If you remember when they were collecting the manna, when they were making bread, they had to collect only enough for today so that they would continually have to rely upon God for sustenance. But when the Sabbath came, God didn't want them to work. He wanted them to rest, and he gave them enough for 2 days. And that's what he's saying here. God, each day. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us tomorrow's bread today. Let us rely upon you continually for all things and for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive others. I don't know how many of you are in here have had things happen to you this week or this semester that have hindered your ability to love one another or love God. You say, God, how does this happen? How do other people hurt me in this kind of way? But as Christians, we come before the throne having experienced forgiveness. And the disposition of our heart needs to be forgiveness. If you have been forgiven, if you have truly had that radical transformation of sin in your lives, our only reaction is to forgive sins. So as we see, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. This isn't conditional. It's not like if I forgive, then I'll be forgiven. It's because you have been forgiven that you forgive and are reminded that you are continually forgiven again. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. In the Bible, it says we often don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray, and God equips us with the Holy Spirit to give us words to say, things to pray for. And often we can pray for exams, in my case, sickness today, that I can preach to you and in some way encourage you to pray. God also says we are weak and we need his reign in our hearts. So lead us away from temptation. So lastly, before we transition to the condition of our hearts, there's this disposition to the Father that says, God, I need you. God, show me how big you are. God, you are glorious. You reign. We love you and we need you. Proverbs 15:8 talks about how the sacrifices, I'm gonna go there. If you wanna flip, you can as well. Proverbs 15:8. Psalms is before Proverbs. Proverbs 15:8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. So as we come with our hearts, do we come having been forgiven and forgive others? Or do we come as if there's no forgiveness, there's no change that's ever been done? When we come to him, what is the condition of our hearts? So we have this content of prayer in Luke 11 as we are learning the lesson from our Father in patterned and persistent prayer. You learn lessons by repetition. And so I pray that we would be persistent in our prayer lives. Part of the condition of our hearts needs to be again and again and again, because we are weak again and again, and God is always good and hears and answers our prayer in our time of need through Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us two examples, and I'll go through them quickly. He talks about this man that comes in the middle of the night and asks for this almost embarrassing petition, because there is this guest that has come to his house, and he says, I don't have anything to give him. Would you give me? And the friend says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm asleep. My kids are asleep, and I'm not going to do that because it's the middle of the night, and this is ridiculous. The point of this teaching is to say, not because the friend is going to be a friend, not because just the relationship that we have with our Father is going to say, okay, yes, I'll give you good things. I'll equip you with the Holy Spirit. I'll forgive you of sins. No, it's because God is so much more than that. God has so much more than just this relationship and love with us. If you remember as a child, coming to your parents saying, I've had a nightmare. Can I sleep with you? Can I sleep in your bed? I need your protection today. That's often how we come before him. And sometimes parents are exhausted and say, just go back to bed. David, just get back in bed. I'd come back again and again, because I'm not going back to sleep until I'm with my parents and have that protection. And so God encourages us to come persistently and boldly. We have that neediness. Equip us with our daily bread. So again, we're learning the lesson of patterned, persistent prayer from our Father. Our prayers are to be persistent, and our prayers are to be bold. This week I said there was moments of weakness where I said, I don't have it. I just don't. I'm not prepared. I'm not smart enough. I haven't prayed enough. And that's right. So as I prayed last night, Lord, give me a sermon, that was a bold prayer. And God will sometimes bring you to a place of weakness so that you can pray to a God of greatness. It's okay. It's okay to not be okay. And God says there's this contrast between the father who will give good gifts. He knows not to give his kid a scorpion. God knows exactly what to give you and what not to give you. He is so much better than an earthly father. He will do no less than an earthly father, and because God is perfect, he will do much more than a sinful man. Last thing I'll say is that it says in verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What is this Holy Spirit? Why is he saying, not give us all things, give us the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. Says, hey, you're a sinner. Don't forget me. He says, hey, you need me. And so this is the perfect gift from a perfect father to say, Lord, I need you. Oh, here he is. He's in my heart. God has given me the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, and we are to be forever thankful. Come on up, guys. So we are to learn the lesson from our Father in patterned petition, patterned, persistent prayer. I'll give you one resource. It's called PrayMate. It's a sweet app. I got it this week just to check it out because somebody suggested it to me. You can organize your prayer concerns into lists. There's this thing called Take Words With You, and this will be where I end. This app equips you with scripture. So often we have this two-dimensional view of God, and we say, God, you're great. But the Bible shows us just how great God is. Not only because he has given us this incredible word, but because it is a daily opportunity to commune with him, to learn about him. And so when we pray, we need this three-dimensional view of God and his glory, of our Father. Ask those around you to pray. Pray yourself, but ask those around you to pray. Pray scripture. Pray persistently. Pray boldly, pray in love, pray to our Father.